Blog Talk Radio.
GoDamnMedia.com.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. Hope you're all doing well today. I'm doing all right, just going over my notes here and getting depressed. Yeah, I want to talk about, well, what I always talk about, Islam. But I really want to discuss just how disgusting this cult is. This, reading this stuff, like, wow. When you think that you've read the depths of a depravity, Islam just seems to hit you again and again and again and again. And this being the holy month of Ramadan, geez, I'm telling you, they don't take a break. Let me see, where are we in Ramadan anyway? Ramalama-ding-dong, the bomb-a-thon. I believe, yep, we are at day 22. Of Ramadan. And let me see. Shall I do the tally for you? In the name of the religion of peace, how many terror attacks have we had so far? 205. How about suicide bombings? Oh, 21. How many dead bodies do we have now? Oh, 1,028. And how many have been wounded? 1,934. Day 22 of Ramadan. And let me see. What was the weekly jihad report for July 20th to July 26th? With jihad attacks? Oh, there were 82. There were 7 Allahu Akbars, and those are, of course, are suicide attacks. For that week, 513 dead bodies, and critically injured, 968. That's in the week of July 20th to July 26th. Yeah, we're going to have to endure this month-long cult fest until August 7th. So they say crime actually goes down during Ramadan. Yeah, maybe the terror attacks went from, I don't know, maybe 225 to 205 thus far. Who knows? But what are their contributions of peace lately? Let me see. What's going on this week in the world of Islam? Well, let me see. In Iraq, 8 Kurds are taken out by a Sunni suicide bomber. Let me see. In Nigeria, Boko Haram Islamists open fire on a village, killing 20 fishermen and traders. Oh, back to Iraq. A Muslim extremist stabs a woman to death inside her home. Somalia. A Federine suicide car bomber rams into a building housing hospital workers, killing 3 civilians. In the Philippines, the Moro Islamist Front is suspected in a brutal shrapnel bombing at a medical convention, which leads 8 dead, including doctors. And in Pakistan, a barbaric double suicide bombing at a Shiite market by assailants shouting praises to Allah leaves 57 dead. That's just this week in a few countries. That's a very, very short list. That's the very short list. There is no end in sight to the violence to the jihadists. They're everywhere. Like I just cited a few incidents in a handful of countries. Why do I have to tolerate Islam? Why do I have to tolerate Islam in my country? And why do people say that Islam is misunderstood? Everything I know about Islam is right in front of me. I got my books. I can read my books. I can read the news. But I have the proof as well via video, and I think that's what I find most disturbing. Because you know how the word can be exaggerated. But when you see a video of a young Muslima being shot in the back of the head, or a 16-year-old being buried alive because she was caught talking to a boy, and it's filmed, you cannot deny it's not real, and you cannot deny that there is an exaggeration, because there is not. Islam is not misunderstood. Islam is what it is, a barbaric cult, an entity that is determined for the rest of the planet to follow their suit via Sharia law. They're succeeding in very sneaky ways, and you guys know that. You know about all those front groups. Care. Let me see. There are so many. care, of course, is the biggie, the big one in the United States. And I got some news on Care Canada. I'll share that with you in a few minutes. You got the Islamic Society of North America. So many of these groups, political groups, front groups for Ummah or World Caliphate, submission, Sharia law. But you know, since 9/11, terrorism in the name of Allah has occurred everywhere. However, for some reason, we're still told that Islam is misunderstood. Well, you know what? You tell that to the victims in India and the Sudan, Algeria, New York, Pakistan, Israel, Russia, Chechnya, Philippines, Indonesia, Nigeria, England, Thailand, Spain, Egypt, Bangladesh, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Morocco, Yemen, Arkansas, France, Uzbekistan, Gaza, Tunisia, Kosovo, Bosnia, Mauritania, Kenya, Eritrea, Syria, Somalia, California, Kuwait, Virginia, Ethiopia, Georgia, Jordan, the United Arab Emirates, Louisiana, Texas, Tanzania, Illinois, Australia, Pennsylvania, Belgium, Denmark, East Timor, Qatar, Maryland, Pakistan, the Netherlands, Afghanistan, Chad, Canada, China, Nepal, the Maldives, Argentina, Mali, Angola, Massachusetts. Do I need to go on? Do I need to go on? O ye who believe, fight those of the disbelievers who are near you, and let them find harshness in you, and know that Allah is with those who keep their duty. Quran Surah 9-123. That's Islam. That's what Islam does. That's what Islam is. Islam is not going to change. Therefore, Islam must be eradicated. Because I'm getting fed up. I've had it up to here. I did a show a while back. And I said that, you know, I get really discouraged some days that I don't want to do it anymore. I'm sick of it. Don't know if I'm even doing any good. And I don't know if I'm just working my way into a meltdown. But I did have some very fine people remind me that one less voice is one more victory for the Islamists. That made sense to me. So I gave myself a little bit of a timeout, though, and thought about it. Saw things in a perspective with those words of that one friend in particular, and realized he's right. This is what they want, okay? This is something else, too. And this rejuvenated me in this thought. This is what they want us to do. They want us to become discouraged, and they want us to give up. That is part of the plan. Well, I'm not giving up. I'm going to have my moments of despondency. We all are when we deal with this subject matter, of course. But don't go, I'm not going into my corner and cry. No. I'll come back out. I want to be that big, huge thorn in their side. I want them to know that I'm here. It's pretty funny. You speak out against Islam. I know in the United States, Bonnie, the bare-naked Islam, care. that lovely Council of American Islamic Relations. They filed a complaint with the FBI regarding her blog site, Bare Naked Islam, complaining about some of the commentary. And they got her shut down for over a month. Not because of the FBI. The FBI more or less told Care to take a hike. It wasn't the FBI, but the attention it brought to her carrier. WordPress got frightened by the attention, and they shut her down. Jimmy WordPress. So she had to find a new carrier, which she did. But this is what they try to do, the intimidation factor. I'm telling you, they better not come after me or my business, because this is what I do. They want to come after me, I'll come back at them. Care is nothing more than a front group for Hamas. They are the unindicted conspirators in the Holy Land Foundation trial. They were caught red-handed funneling money to the Palestinians. Red-handed. They still got away with it, though. This is another thing. They're also very slippery. They managed to get out of their inconvenient little problems, like, getting caught funneling, like, I don't know, $12,000 into Palestine under the guise of humanitarian work. No. They funnel money to the Hamas because the Hamas need more arms to fight the Jew, that evil Jew. But still, they run around all indignant, throwing lawsuits around, threatening various levels of government about insulting Islam, being racist. And that is another thing. If they think I'm a racist because I despise Islam, fine, I'm a racist. That label has grown very old anyway. That label, it's outused its purpose. Racist. But like I say, the level of their depravity, it knows no bounds. And they're also, sometimes they're not very bright. You know, there's this Islamic cleric in India. He was caught enjoying music at a festival. And because he was caught, he put a fatwa on that music that he was enjoying. I do not understand their mindset. Oh, man, oh, man. And the dhimmis that they attract, like the UAF, the United Against Fascism. This is a group out of the UK, comprised mainly of Muslims at this point. One of their members started a Facebook fan page called Lee Rigby Deserved It. I haven't gone to it. I don't want to click on it. I don't want anything. I don't want that IP coming back to my computer. But yeah, these are dhimmis and the so-called moderate Muslims in the UK. Yeah, starting up these Facebook groups. You know, they can't even have a charity event. There was a Muslim charity event, and a stampede broke out, all of them running around. Three dead. And it's not just the useful willing dimmies. It's also the politically correct dimmies, like our governments. There's a Danish hospital. It's gone fully halal. That's one of many hospitals in the West that are serving halal meals because of the influx of the Islamic population. Most people wouldn't understand the difference between halal and whatever. But there's a huge difference. First of all, halal is blessed. That in itself is a problem with me because I will not eat food blessed by an imam. And it's not just because I'm not a Muslim. It's because I despise Islam. And I try my very level best not to touch anything that has passed through their hands. The slaughter of the animals is barbaric. And you got them fighting amongst each other, the Sunnis and the Shiites. Who should have preceded Muhammad after he died? Yeah, Muhammad is a big pile of stupid. Couldn't even leave a will. Jeez. Couldn't even leave a will. Couldn't leave an heir apparent. Nope. So now these guys, you know, these two sects in particular, they've been going at it for 1,400 years. That's it. Once they kill us, they'll just start killing each other. Yeah, running around like idiots. No, this is the caliphate. No, this is the caliphate. No, you're wrong. I kill you. You got fathers killing their daughters. You know, I cited that incident, the 16-year-old girl who was buried alive because she was caught talking to a boy. You get another dude caught his daughter with a boy and he killed both of them. Yeah, the religion of peace. You got the clerics controlling families. There's a cleric here who demanded a family hand over their two daughters. Probably for what? You got them, their justice system too, like I say, Sharia law. This is why we don't want it. They still engage in blood libel. Blood libel. If I were a Muslim in a Sharia courtroom, say in Pakistan, and I was a guy. No, I couldn't be a woman. I'd have to be a man. And I murdered your brother. And I went to jail for it. And I was facing the death penalty. The family of the victim could instead demand blood libel or money in exchange for my life. Of course, a lot of times these are petty crimes too. A lot of times they don't have money. In Sharia law, if I'm caught stealing food, I'm going to get my hand lopped off. But you know what? To give them credit, I think they crept very slowly into the 8th century over that one because what they have a tendency to do now, that if you are facing dismemberment, they get everything all set up, right? They bring you in. Put out your hand. Put your arm out. Come on. Well, they clearly they have to tie it down. They lop off your hand, and then they immediately bundle you into an ambulance and take you to the hospital. Well, well, well. See? A little progress. Oh, well, here you go. Oh, darn it. Hang on a sec. Hi. What do you want? What? Guess who's here to visit again? I think Freya likes you guys. She wants her food. Do you want your food? Here. I'm sorry, guys. Here you go. Eat your foodie. Go on. Eat your food. Aw, she is a cute little kitty cat, though. I really like her. She sits by my desk, on her little bed beside my desk whenever I do my show. Like I say, she likes you guys. Yeah, I know. It is really cute. But, okay, you okay down there? Got your foodie? You're all set? All right. Can Mama get back to work? All right. But like I was saying, there is no end in sight to the depravity of Islam. Burying teenagers alive just for talking to a boy. It's just so hard to believe. Like I say, she was a Turkish girl buried alive. And that kind of is what throws me to, is that it happened in Turkey. Happened, I believe, last week. Yeah, in Turkey. You know that country that wants to be part of the European Union? Yeah, that country. They lied about it to the family. The family reported her missing. Yeah. They buried her alive and then lied about it. But they found her body. And somebody tipped the police. So, yeah, they went to the father. He said, well, yeah. She kept talking to boys. She wouldn't stop talking to the boys. I didn't know what to do. The authorities who had to do the autopsy were horrified. They said the results were blood-curdling. Her death must have been excruciating. She was literally inhaling the soil. Islam, the religion of peace. I'd like a piece of them. But it is what it is. I'm just really getting fed up with this. What is it going to take for the rest of the world to wake up? You know what? I didn't know what an Islamist was before 9/11. I didn't understand movies like, I don't know, Midnight Express. I think that's the movie where those two guys are jailed for smuggling hashish. Can't remember where. Somewhere in Indonesia or somewhere around there. No, I didn't understand what these movies really meant. I enjoyed them, though. They were interesting. I just thought, ooh, I wouldn't want to live like that. Well, that's what we will be living under if we do not get this religion, so-called religion, under control. That is what we will be facing. We will be established in our own Evan prisons like that in Iran in 1-2 generations if we don't stop what's going on with Islam and do it now. Now, you know, there's that old saying, and everybody quotes it all the time, right? If you don't do something, your children will never forgive you. Yeah, well, okay, yeah, that's true. And I wouldn't blame them. But what will happen exponentially? Our children won't forgive us. Our grandchildren will hear the stories, and our great-grandchildren will never know the difference. That's how it's going to work. Christianity and Judaism will be nothing but stories, myths. If Islam continues to get its way. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break because I'm going to switch gears here. I want to talk about Guantanamo Bay, specifically the perks that they're getting down there. Unbelievable. But now I've got a dog coming down here. All right. You can probably hear her behind me. And she wants the food. No. Ah, Brandy, no. Can't have that. All right. I'm going to take a break and control these animals here. I'll be back in 3 minutes, guys.
Living on a thin line. easy, easy. My son was asking, what up now? Huh?
I'm going to have to really figure out what that is. I don't know what that is. Oh, well, I think actually what it is that when I downloaded it from YouTube, it's the probably the site of the person who put this up on YouTube. I think that is just an advertisement for his site. That's probably what it is. But you know what? Might have to take it to Audacity and maybe take it out. Kind of spoils the ending of the song, doesn't it? All right. Hello. Yeah. Perks. Gitmo. Korans. Soccer fields. Prayer mats. Oh, my goodness. These detainees in Guantanamo Bay, they are treated better there than you and I are in our daily lives in terms of perks. They get everything. You know, in 2009, Peter King, you know, he's a Republican congressman, he visited the Gitmo. He took a look around, did a report. I don't know his logic, though. You see, the thing is, okay, I'm just going to jump around on the map just for a little bit. Just bear with me. Now, the thing is, as you know, the detainees at Gitmo, they're always claiming that they've been tortured, that they're being abused at Gitmo, okay? Although I still don't really go with this logic. Peter King, he did say that although he wants the prison to be kept open, he also wants them to be treated extremely well, so that is the only scandal at Guantanamo, is that the detainees were treated well. I kind of danced around that one, and I tripped over my own 2 feet, but I think I spit it out. But these detainees, they get between 4 and 20 hours of outdoor recreation in the nice Caribbean sun. Almost unlimited access to DVDs. They receive 3 newspapers. They get the USA Today, one from Egypt, and one from Saudi Arabia. Get those delivered twice a week. Get their DVDs. They get their newspapers. Oh, and this is very thoughtful of those torturous bastards. Every bed has an arrow pointing towards Mecca, and every cell, of course, has the prayer rug. Of course, the detainees' diet is exclusively Middle Eastern and halal, in observance of regional and religious sensitivities. Things like dates, olive oil, honey, they're provided daily. Pita bread is baked on the premises. But they do drink the same bottled water as the prison staff. They have a library. 16,000 books and 1,600 magazines as of 2009. It's higher now. They, like I say, they can go outside pretty much all day long. They sit in the yard and they chat. Or maybe they do their laundry and they're hanging their laundry. Or they're playing soccer on that soccer field that cost us an arm and a leg to build. Unbelievable. Meanwhile, our soldiers, fighting overseas are having their cafeterias shut down at midnight around there, give or take. Yet our soldiers, when they're overseas and they're fighting, okay, they're on patrol. They might be on a 12-hour tour out there beyond the green zone doing patrol. They come. They may not get back until 2 o'clock. It depends on what happens. Sometimes they won't get back until 2 o'clock in the morning, depending on their shifts, of course. But if they're engaged in a firefight, well, they're not going to get back before midnight, definitely. Out there all day, probably with a couple of rations in their knapsacks, but they come back and they're fed peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Isn't that lovely? There is Representative Ted Poe. Last month, he took the White House floor. And, of course, he was talking about wasteful government spending. But his latest target was the party boys living high on the hog at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. English as a second language, Pashto to English, Arabic to English, art, life skills, computers, personal health and wellness, finance and business. Now, those sound like courses at a university, right? No, these are classes being offered at Gitmo University. They are receiving career training. And he did talk about the soccer field. That cost you, the taxpayer, $750,000 to build. They play volleyball, basketball, table tennis, and even foosball. Ted Poe had one question for the Mr. Speaker. He wanted to know, why does the government spend millions to train and entertain those who kill Americans? I wanted to know that too. Why are these terrorists, why are they being treated so well when our soldiers are getting scraps? I don't understand that. Do you? I don't. I have a little clip here I'm going to share with you. This is from the Blaze. This is also something else. Treadmills. They're getting fat, by the way. They're consuming on average 5,000 calories per day because the diet is so good. So now they're demanding exercise equipment. So fine, exercise equipment was brought in. But guess what? They refused to use the treadmills because they were not made by Muslims. So the treadmills, they had to go back and had to be replaced. Yeah. Yeah. Our tax dollars at work, guys. This is the war on terror that we're fighting. Like I say, I have this clip here, and I'm going to play it for you because it is nauseating. It's almost like a Betty Crocker video on how to make pie. Just listen to how the way this woman talks, and I'd wish you could see the video because it's got a beautifully displayed table, very nicely laid out, wonderful-looking food. But listen to how it's described. Listen to this woman.
2 weeks in advance, the detainees are given a menu that consists of six different meal choices. These choices are vegetarian, bland, regular meal, soft, fish, and high fiber. The detainees make their decision based on mood, diet, religious preference, or medical reasons. The main meal usually includes noodles, meat, fish, vegetable patty, or poultry along with cooked vegetables. The detainees are also given a variety of side items. This assortment has salad, dessert, fresh bread, juice, and usually a granola bar. If a detainee decides to eat each meal offered to them, they will receive between 5,200 and 5,700 calories a day. All bread is baked fresh daily by the galley's kitchen staff. The food detainees receive is fresh. If a detainee thinks that any of the food isn't fresh, then they can refuse the meal and demand another. The detainees eat specially prepared meat. Halal-style meat has been blessed in the name of God and has been slaughtered by incision through the skin at the trachea and jugular vein to bleed the animal out thoroughly. The meat comes with a certificate ensuring the meat is received and served halal-style. This is a sacred ritual, therefore, the service member food is prepared separately. Just like the special halal meat prepared for the Muslim detainees, we also prepare special dishes for Ramadan. Muslims fast during the day during the month of Ramadan and eat after sunset. Then they normally have dates, honey, and specially prepared foods.
Isn't that special? See what I mean? Just listen to her voice. The way she talks, it's all sunshine and roses. But like I say, it makes me ill. The way our soldiers are treated, fighting overseas, losing life and limb to keep us safe, and they're getting peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Their canteens shut down at a certain time. Do you know what? I'm sorry. I can barely get through this story. I'm so angry. You know what other concessions they get? Of course, the halal food. And we know halal food is a special diet that is prepared in accordance with the strictest of Muslim regulations. We talked about the $750,000 soccer field, but you know what else? They also get Al Jazeera TV. They get personal copies of the Quran, complete with a Muslim librarian. And each Quran comes with a little hammock to keep it from touching the ground. They get, their newspapers, their library. They get prayer beads, to go with the rugs. They get free medical and dental care, which, by the way, is not offered to American prisoners. I didn't know that. Yeah. American prisoners, they don't get free dental care. They get medical care if they need it. But the Gitmo boys, they get free medical and dental care. Can the average American afford free medical or medical and dental care? Well, how many of you can afford dental care? I can't. I don't have a dental plan. I went out and got my teeth fixed. I had 3 surgeries. I had to pay for it out of pocket. That cost me a pretty penny. Because we all know how expensive dentistry work is. On average, it costs $250 just to have one tooth extraction where I am. I think that's about average in the United States as well. Believe me, like I say, 3 surgeries I had. And that doesn't even cover my dentures. That's just my surgery, not the dentures. Oh no, that's something completely different. That is if I want the dentures. I don't need the dentures right now. Fortunately, because the dental surgeon, he was able to do a little bit of reconstructive surgery so I'm good that way. But if I wanted dentures, That's on top. Yeah. So they get free medical and dental care. Not offered to American prisoners, and certainly not the average American citizen. Their hospital is slated for a very expensive upgrade. It will be getting a $150 million makeover. Now, the people who are guarding the Gitmo Party Boys, they're getting a new dining hall. That'll be $12 million. Don't mind that. For the troops. $9.9 million in legal meeting complex where lawyers can meet their detainee clients. Well, the hospital alone, that's not $150 million itself, by the way. This is all encompassing. The hospital is just included in that overall makeover it's getting. My apologies if I spit that out the wrong way, but all the same, $150 million for these makeovers. For example, $10.8 million for a communications network facility to store data, including computer records and tapes of interrogations, which has been required by a federal court order. I don't even know why they bother. Do you think these detainees are truthful? No. They'll tell you what you want to hear. They're not going to tell you anything new. I got something here. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I got a black screen here. I don't know. I'll have to look into that. Anyway, I got another video here I want you to listen to. I don't know. I haven't. You know what? I'm going to play a game. Let's play the surprise video. But by the looks of this guy, he doesn't look too happy, and he's from Gitmo. So I don't know. Let's take a listen and see what he's got to say. Might be interesting.
Hi, I'm Senator Jim Inhofe in a very unlikely place to put something on our YouTube Guantanamo Bay. It just blows your mind when you stop and think about the way that they are treating people down here much better than they would be treated internationally in our federal prison system. This is my third trip down here. The first one was right after 9/11. As we go through all seven of the camps that are here and actually talk to the people who are down here all the time, you go through the medical facilities, I mean, colonoscopies and things like that they've never even heard of. They are offered all kinds of dental work. I mean, these people are much better taken care of than they have been in their entire lives. And I would say the same thing for the food itself. The food and services are just incredible and just beyond me that anyone can come down and see what I've had an opportunity to see three different times and come back and say that there's torture, if there's anything, any bad treatment. They do go through interrogations, but they live by the field manual. They do everything in accordance with the individuals who would really like to turn everybody loose in all penitentiaries. But they do a great job down here, and I can't imagine what would happen if they closed this place. If they closed this place, then you're going to have to find other places. They've identified some 17 places, including in my state of Oklahoma, for sale, where terrorists would be incarcerated. And it would be a terrible risk to us and to all of Oklahoma. And the same thing would be true of in any of the other states. They absolutely have to have this facility as we increase the surge in Afghanistan, which we are going to do. There's not a problem with those who are Afghans who are taken in. The problem is people from other areas, Djibouti and the Horn of Africa and elsewhere, because there's no place else to put them. I mean, right now, if they were to close this place, they've got, including, of course, the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the five people who instigated 9/11, we wouldn't know what to do with them, because if they go into our federal system, the type of evidence that is against them could end up in actually turning them loose. So we can't do that. We've got to do what we can to encourage the Obama administration that this is a resource, that is the United States resource that we've had now since 1903, and we cannot give it up. There's no alternative. Well, anyway, that's how things are here in Gitmo.
Okay, like I say, he didn't look happy, and he sounded very unhappy, didn't he? And I didn't catch his name. Like I say, surprise, surprise video day. But he's from Oklahoma, representative, unhappy. And he brought up a really good point, though, about if we shut down Gitmo, what do we do with these detainees, right? Do we put them in general prison, and what will that accomplish? And like he says, they could be released. Then what do we do with them? A lot of them are getting deported back to their home countries, which in itself is a relief to get them off American soil. That part of Cuba belongs to the United States, the base anyway. So that is one thing, but the other thing is we all know what they do as soon as they get back to their host countries. Turn around, engage in jihad again. Now, I have something here, and I'm trying to look for it. I'm not sure if I saved. Yeah, I did save it. Okay, good. Because I want to talk to you about Gitmo in itself right now. And guess who's making noises about Gitmo? You guessed it. The Council of American Islamic Relations. Now, they wrote a written statement, and they submitted it to the United States Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on the Constitution, Civil Rights, and Human Rights on July 24th of 2013. I'm just going through. We've got the introduction here. We got Durbin in there. We got Cruz in there. Now, care their statement is that their position on the U.S. prison camp at Gitmo, it's clear. CARE strongly opposes the indefinite detention without charge or trial of prisoners at Guantanamo. CARE calls for the immediate release or civilian trial of all remaining detainees. Likewise, CARE cautions against the closure of Gitmo being accomplished by creating a comparable facility with the same inadequate judicial process inside the United States. Now, in May, CARE welcomed with caution, and they were very cautious about their optimism, but they did welcome President Obama's speech at the National Defense University, in which he expressed opposition to boundless global war as a pillar of American foreign policy. Okay, sorry. And renewed his push to close the U.S. detention camps at Guantanamo. As the president said, Guantanamo has become a symbol around the world for an American that flouts the rule of law. Oh, really? Okay. Hang on a minute. Oh, boy. Gee, that's pretty bad. Yeah, we flout the rule of law. President, we're bad people for doing that. Yeah. That's what we do. We flout the rule of law. Mm-hmm. Okay. We flout it. I love that. His words. Yeah, that's what he said. Like, I know what he was getting at. He was getting at that he doesn't want the United States to be looked upon as pushing its weight around and throwing it around. Like, I know that, but just the way he worded it, a symbol around the world for an American that flouts the rule of law, I just found that amazingly trippy. Now, CARE, they have a few concessions, I believe, that they do want the president to make. They want the president to shut it down yesterday. They want those prisoners released. And so this is why they sent this letter to the United States Senate Judiciary Subcommittee. Now, where am I going here? Oh, for goodness sake. What is wrong with this? Come on, baby. There we go. You know what? I really hate PDFs because they move so slow. Now, CARE believes that the administration's recommitment to closing the prison at Guantanamo is driven in part by the prisoners' four-month-long hunger strike. Oh, yeah, they had a hunger strike, by the way. In protest of their unconstitutional indefinite detention. While the hunger strike may have started in February over allegations of guards mishandling inmates' Korans after being detained for 11 years without charge or trial, many of the detainees are willing to risk death just to draw attention to their indefinite detention status. Hang on a sec. Now, at present, I believe this was in February when the hunger strike started, a couple of months later, and up to, I'm not sure if it was until July, early July. But at one point, 96 of the 166 detainees were being force-fed through nasal tubes by military doctors. Now, CARE is saying the process of force-feeding is fundamentally cruel, inhuman, degrading, and torturous. Force-feeding also carries the risk of major infections, possible death, and psychological suffering. Aw. You know what? I don't care. I don't even want them force-fed. I let them starve themselves to death. For God's sake, who cares? They're terrorists. They're killing us. Psychological suffering. Do you know what? They're already nuts. That's what happens when you bang your head on a prayer mat five times a day. You get brain damage anyway. They're all nuts. In our minds. In their minds, they're not. You know what? I shouldn't say they're all nuts because they're not all nuts. They're actually quite sane. They're just engaging in their jihad as they are being taught to do via the Holy Quran. So no, I guess I shouldn't say they're nuts. That's kind of mean. That's mean to people who are truly nuts. Yeah, that's unfair. Now, I don't care. They seem to always have their finger in everything. They have to insert themselves every single bit of business. Oh, with this PDF that they sent to the Judiciary Committee, they had recommendations to go along with it. Yeah. CARE urges the immediate release or civilian trial of all remaining detainees. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Congress and the President should work together to address the issues of indefinite detention and the prison at Guantanamo Bay, which challenge our nation's commitment to the rule of law and worsen our international reputation. Like CARE cares about us. CARE requests that the 86 prisoners already cleared for release be transferred to their home countries or other countries for resettlement without delay so that they can get back to the jihad immediately. Oops, sorry. That was me thinking out loud. In doing so, the administration should be allowed to work with the countries of Afghanistan, Egypt, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Tunisia, and Yemen without restrictions imposed by Congress. Should the administration proceed with PRBs, CARE encourages appropriate steps to be taken to ensure the PRBs have the required processes in place for meaningful review of a prisoner's detention status at Guantanamo. CARE also urges the U.S. to implement the immediate and permanent cessation of all force-feeding, yay, of Guantanamo prisoners and that an independent medical professional team review and monitor all hunger-striking prisoners. CARE also requests an investigation and rectification of any abusive conditions or treatment at Guantanamo in addition to force-feeding. Oh, please. In addition to considering national security and due process, CARE recommends that Congress fully consider the credible financial justifications for closing the prison at Guantanamo Bay. As clarified by U.S. House Armed Services Committee Ranking Member Adam Smith, as a nation we are, quote, currently spending approximately $1.6 million per detainee each year at Guantanamo Bay, compared to $34,046 per inmate at a high-security federal prison. And that is true. All right. Why are we... They are costing us a fortune. But what are we going to do with them? Seriously, I don't know what to do with them. I don't like the American taxpayers' money going towards this. I don't like it one bit. But what else are we to do with them, CARE? We did send some back to their home countries, and look what they did. They turned around and engaged in jihad again, CARE. But the only difference, you know, CARE, the only difference between this organization and those jihadists is that those jihadists, they're engaging in kinetic jihad, whereas CARE, they're engaging in legal jihad. Which is worse? The terrorist in the business suits or the terrorists who run around the mountains like donkeys, mountain goats? I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Holy smokes. I'm nearly out of time, and I wanted to get to something here. I don't know if I'm going to have time for it, because I've only got, 20 minutes left. But I do want to share a little something with you. It's an 8-minute long tape, but I'm not going to play the whole thing. Now, if you listen to my show from last week, I talked about Justin Trudeau. He is the federal leader of the Liberal Party of Canada. In the next federal election, he could be the Prime Minister of Canada. He's the one who was running around with the Islamic groups. He was running around with the Islamic Society of North America. Well, there is the Muslim Canadian Congress, of course. They complained about that. And so what is this guy doing, running around with these Islamists? So Tariq Fatah, who created the Canadian Muslim Congress, he went on Sun TV, and he had a few choice words for what Justin Trudeau was up to. I'm going to play a little bit of it, but I want you to pay attention to around the 2-minute mark to what Tariq Fatah says, and then I'm going to cut it off, and we're going to come back and discuss it. So just take a listen.
So how will the boy blunder Justin Trudeau explain this one? He had no shame about giving a speech to the Islamic Society of North America before, but now their charitable status may be revoked because of suspected ties to Pakistani terrorists. Values of openness and respect? I don't think so. We're joined here in studio by Tariq Fatah of the Muslim Canadian Congress. Tariq, what is the unspoken strategy here in terms of Justin again going to a Islamic group that has some nefarious ties? He did it back in December, as I mentioned in my monologue, and now he did it again this month. What's going on here?
He has no strategy. He's too dumb to have a strategy. He's just pretty, and he thinks he can get a couple of seats back in the Mississauga area, so he'll go anywhere where his Saudi-born advisor will tell him this is the way to go to outreach with the Muslim community. Oh, yesterday you went out with the gays, now you got to polish up all that grime that has collected and made you unholy. Go to this organization, you'll come out purified.
Well, is this indeed a winning proposition for him? I mean, going to these events, do the Liberals in the next election stand to win these seats because of these appearances?
I don't know. I don't live in the area, but I don't think it works. Most Muslims don't go to mosques. Only 10% of Canada's Muslim population visits a mosque regularly. Mm. So 90% of Canada's Muslim population is like me. Or they, you know, they're playing baseball or eating ice cream or dating somewhere or, you know, I don't know what everyone does. That's what they do.
So the idea of Muslim Canadians voting as one block for one party.
Are you kidding me?
Okay.
I mean, what have we learned? What has he learned from Syria or Afghanistan or Iraq or Pakistan or Tunisia or Egypt? What sort of an idiot thinks that Muslims think alike? What are we, some elephant herd?
But, Church, you said something significant.
There, I just want to stop it there. Did you hear what Tariq Fatah said? What makes Justin Trudeau think that all Muslims think alike? Well, you know what? I find that hard to believe that Islam, under Islam, that Muslims have independent thought. They have proven that they don't. So for Tariq Fatah to say something like that, I think is disingenuous at best. And Muslims, they do vote as a voting bloc. They vote for whom their imam tells them to vote for, and I do not believe his statistic about only 10% of Canadian Muslims attend the mosques. I think it's much higher than that. If they do not attend a mosque physically, they certainly are observant all the same. So Tariq Fatah, he's trying to sell us a bill of goods that Muslims are just like you and me, just everyday people who go out and play soccer and get ice cream and go on dates. No, that's not how it is. We have seen what happens when Muslim, young Muslim women try to engage in Western activities. Yeah, they're honor killed. Remember the Shafia sisters? Don't forget that. So Tariq Fatah, quit selling us a bill of goods. We know how Muslims think. We're on to them. You know it. I think that you are a very, very bad man for even trying to suggest that Muslims are anything remotely like the rest of the West, because they are not. So just stop that talk right there, right now. Now, Justin Trudeau, yeah. I don't understand why he's running around with these Islamists either. I have no idea what he's up to. I don't know what he's trying to accomplish. And, well, we do. Of course we do. He's a politician. He's looking for votes. But why the Islamists? Why that particular community? I don't know what his particular love affair with the Islamists is, but he seems to have one, and he seems to have it bad. But I have to understand. Remember I also mentioned his father, Pierre Elliott Trudeau, the one who rewrote our Constitution and gave us official multiculturalism? Yeah, that's the son. That's the one who could be Prime Minister of Canada one day if the rock star gets his way. We call him the shiny pony because he's so pretty looking. Yes, he's very pretty. But I am up to here with this guy. I'm sick of him. The sooner he leaves politics, which won't happen in my lifetime because he's younger than me, the better off I'll feel. But like I say, I'll have to endure this smarmy looking face and that smarmy voice for years and years and years ad nauseum. Justin Trudeau, shiny pony, big fail. And your father, well, what can I say? I'm going to close it out in a minute. But I brought up multiculturalism. Now, multiculturalism in itself is neat, but it has its place. I like the multicultural fairs. I like the multicultural restaurants. I like the multicultural shops. But I do not like official multiculturalism driven into my constitution. Because we all know not all cultures are equal. And unfortunately in Canada, because we do have official multiculturalism, that means the Islamic culture is treated as equal as mine, which is not a fact. So when people say, well, you know, what's the big deal with multiculturalism? That's the big deal with me. I will not respect the cult of Islam. I will not respect their subcultures. I will not respect their mindset. I will not respect the way they think, ever. I do not like them having equal status under my constitution in terms of, in the guise of multiculturalism, not at all. But I am down to about 5 minutes of talking before I have to play us out. On a final note, back to CARE, but this time, CARE Canada. They've changed their name. They don't want to be associated. The Canadian branch does not want to be associated with the American Islamic Relations branch. No. So now they are going to be called the National Council of Canadian Muslims. Yeah. Yeah. As of July 6th of 2013, CARE-CAN changed their name to the National Council of Canadian Muslims, or the NCCM. I just thought that you would find that of interest so that you know that when you hear a spokesperson from NCCM, you know that is actually CARE. And we know that CARE is born from the Holy Land Foundation. We know that they are front groups for terrorism. So I just thought you might be interested in knowing that. There you go. FYI, PSA alert, CARE is now known as the National Council of Canadian Muslims. Okay. I just want to share something with you, and it was really bothering me, and I nearly forgot, and I'm glad it popped into my head. Sometimes when I do my show, I tend to get dates mixed up. I get numbers mixed up. And for some reason on my show last week, I refer to 9/11 as September 1st, 2011. I got that. I do that. I get numbers backwards. I tried to say 1.5 million one day, and it came out as 1.5 billion. I do that. These malapropisms that I engage in are really troublesome to me, but I do them sometimes. I don't do them very often because I'm very conscious of it, but once in a while, one gets away from me, and it's embarrassing. And does it bother me? Absolutely. And I apologize to my listeners when I do that. And when I catch them, I do try to rectify the situation right away. But this is what you get when you listen to an unedited show. I don't take this show. I don't pre-tape my shows. I don't take it to Audacity and edit all this junk out. No, I don't do that. I leave it standing. I think the only time I would ever take a show to Audacity is if I got a caller and he engaged in such language as to that I could not catch it in time. Then I might take it to Audacity and edit out the foul language or something. But fortunately, that has only happened once. So. But no, what you see, what you hear on the air is what you're getting live. I'm going to make these little, well, sometimes not so little, errors. And I want to thank you, though, for, you know, bearing with me and understanding that. I have very smart listeners. When I quote something as obvious as September 11th, 2001, if I misquoted as September 1st, 2011, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I understand that and I appreciate that. But all the same, things like that should not be done. I should not be on the air if that's the way I'm going to conduct myself. But fortunately, like I say, I catch myself more often than not. Once in a while, though, one gets away from me, and I deeply apologize to you for that. Okay. Before I do close out, I just want to remind you, though, programming notes, okay? Right here on Red Fox Blogger on August 4th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, there is a show that will be on, and that is Cross in the Desert with host Randy L. Novo. He is a Christian, and he helps Christians in Iran in particular. I called him an apostate. He's actually, I think he prophesizes. I think that's the word I was looking for. But he's a very good man. He's very well spoken. He's a critically acclaimed author, and he will have his own show right here, August 4th, 8 p.m. Look for it under Red Fox Blogger. Please be here. It's going to be a fantastic show, and we will be discussing the issues of Islam as well, of course. I also want to remind you, Radio Jihad Network, 7 days a week, baby. They got a show tonight, in fact, Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time today, the Vito Esposito Show, and that's Mamma Mia, no Sharia. So make sure you're here tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here, Blog Talk Radio, for that. And don't forget that they do have shows 7 days a week. On Tuesdays, they have the Andrew Bisoit Show. That's at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. On Wednesday, of course, the Eliza Jane Show, and that's Freedom Quest at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. On Thursday, Dottie Adelman, American Akbar, Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturdays, they have the Usama Dakdok Show, and that is revealing the truth about Islam, and that is at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. On Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we have the Uncle Dave Show, and that is the Radio Jihad Network. Now, they do have a Friday show. That is going to be the Lisa Marie Johnson Show. That is to be, her time is to be announced, and her debut is to be announced. But there will be a Friday show with the Lisa Marie Johnson that will be coming to you soon. I just wanted to remind you that there are a lot of people out there trying to let you know what is going on in the world of Islam. We're all in this together, and we're all not alone. There are so many voices out there, so many fine programs on the issue of Islam that you can listen to and educate yourself. We are telling you what you will not hear in the mainstream media. We share with you articles and blogs, the truth, the facts that you will not read in your national dailies. So listen to us here. Listen to the Red Fox Blogger. Listen to all the other shows out there that discuss Islam. And like I say, listen to the Radio Jihad Network. 7 days a week of education right there alone. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for joining me today. It has been wonderful, as usual. Like I was saying at the beginning of the show, at one point, I was feeling despondent one day, and I got a pep talk that just made me bounce right back, and I came out swinging twice as hard and twice as fast. Islam, you watch out. We're on to you. And you know what? It's our countries. We're taking them back, and we're not allowing you to bully us around anymore. They cannot hide from us anymore, ladies and gentlemen. All right, guys. You have a great afternoon. Have a great week. I will see you here next Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. All right? Okay. Bye-bye.